addition to Saturday Night Live's Saturday Night Birthday Meeting, held at Episode Shopping Center, Room 120 in San Jose, California, on September 26, 1992. Tonight, our main speaker is John C. The original recording and its copy are at the SNL Tape Library. Please observe the traditions of our collection on this and do not play this recording for commercial or entertainment purposes. And please do not break the anonymity of the speakers or any A member at the public level. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm here tonight because I want to be, not because I have to be. And I'm here tonight because I want to stay sober. But if you want to stay sober in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, you don't pick up the first drink and you go to meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous. And you get yourself a sponsor, and you may not like some of these things that you have to do when you come into Alcoholics Anonymous. But if you want to stay alive, this is what you have to do. And you might like some of the things I'm going to say off the floor of Alcoholics Anonymous tonight. But I've been around for 12 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I believe that I'm a real alcoholic today, and I believe that I'm a walking miracle. And just to give you a little bit of insight of what I was like when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, is a little story that gets around Alcoholics Anonymous about the Texan that brought his horse into the blacksmith shop and he wanted to get it shoed. And he's standing there watching the blacksmith pound out the shoes and throw them in the dirt. And eventually he got curious and he bent down and he picked one up. And he immediately threw it back down on the ground. And the blacksmith turned to him and said, "What wasn't it?" And he turned around and he said, "No, it doesn't take me long to live at a horseshoe." Now that's the story of my life. And if you think I'm any different today, I'm not. That's because I'm sober. I'm John, I'm an alcoholic. I came here 12 years ago in this month. On the first Saturday of this month, a very sick and suffering human being, nearly dead, and was told I wasn't going to make it, and I'm still here. I've been on borrowed time the 12 years I've been in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, when I came here, I wasn't expected to live. I wasn't expected to get sober, neither. And a few people back in Alcoholics Anonymous run a Calcutta on me because they said he won't make it. You know, I'm still here and they're dead. So watch who you sit in judgment of in Alcoholics Anonymous. One day they may be your sponsor. It's as simple as that. And that does happen. You know, it happened for me. See, I kept coming back and I kept doing the things that I was told to do. See, the miracle for me today is that I don't bleed from the bowel. I don't urinate blood. I haven't got sores all over my body. My arms are not in a sling or in plaster. I'm not on crutches. I'm not locked up in a jail. I'm not in a padded cell or an insane asylum or a hospital. You know, I'm with a woman today that loves me very much, and I was with a woman back then in those days that loved me very much, that was a mother of five of my children. But I was a complete and utter arsehole when it came to alcohol. You know, anybody that got in the way, whether it was five kids, a wife, police or anybody else, look out. Because alcohol for me was the elixir of the gods. And my attitude to alcohol was, and I used to hear people complaining about the price of it. You know, I used to say, "I don't know how they can make it so good, so cheap." You know, and that was my attitude to alcohol. I loved the stuff more than I loved my wife and my children and myself. You know, like a child, I grew up in an alcoholic household, and I suppose some of you here may have and some of you may not. But I grew up in an alcoholic household and I hated my father's guts. And my father was an alcoholic and my mother was an alcoholic and my mother drank herself to death and I believe so did my father. And my father used to come home and rip me out of the bed in the middle of the night. He didn't beat on me brother or my sister. He used to beat on me in the middle of the night when he was in the horrors. And I never ever knew what for. And I used to get between my father because when I got bigger, as I grew up in life, as I was a pretty big boy, I decided to get between my father and my mother. I got sick and tired of him beating on my mother and I thought I'd take him on. Well, he beat on me for a while and he slowed me up and put me in hospital. You know, and I turned around like most children do, or teenagers do, and I said, "You know, if this is what alcohol does, or drinking does, I'm not quite sure which word I used, I'm not going to drink." Yeah. I didn't like what it did. I didn't even like the taste of the shit. I really didn't. But I tell you what, I learned to love it more than anything in my whole life. I learned to love alcohol more than anything. I would kill for it. It was as simple as that. In the end, once I got that taste, I would kill for it. And I hear people talking about alcohol and talking about whether they're an alcoholic or they're not an alcoholic. You know, and I was one of those alcoholics that it didn't matter whether I was going to jail or I wasn't going to jail, or my wife was leaving or my wife was coming back, or the job was coming or the job was going. It didn't matter in my life. It really and truly didn't matter. Alcohol was the only thing that mattered in my life. And you know, when the judge said to me, this is what I'm going to do to you the next time you come back, it didn't bother me. You know, I used the system, and I used money, and I used people, and I abused people, and I did whatever I wanted to do, and I rode roughshod through life, and I was a male chauvinist pig doing anything you wanted to do. And I thought that's what you had to do to be a man and a tough guy. And I was a man and a tough guy, and I'd done it all. I've had grievous bodily harm, assault with a deadly weapon, about 11 assault charges and 2 of them in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I wrecked cars with the best of them, and I thought that's what you had to do. You know, I knocked around with some of the hardest people in this world because I wanted to be a tough guy. But when I walked through these doors 12 years ago, as tough as I was, alcohol had ripped me to the very core. It had taken me apart. And Alcoholics Anonymous eventually started to put me back together, by the way. But I dragged myself through these doors, and I never ever want to forget how sick I was when I come to Alcoholics Anonymous. I never want to forget how sick I was. So I'm very grateful to Alcoholics Anonymous today that I'm still alive. I'm very grateful to this Saturday Night Live and Jim that I was asked to come down here and share at this meeting. And I want to say thank you to Jim while I think of it, and I want to say thank you to the committee and the people that afforded me the privilege to stand here tonight and share my experience, strength and hope with you, and tell you that they're not to despair for the newcomers and the people that have been here, whether you're here for 12 minutes or 12 years or 22 years or 24 years or 34 years. There is hope. You just got to keep coming back. No matter how tough it gets, there is hope. There's been a lot of tragedy in my life. It hasn't been milk and honey all the way down the road. That's been a tough ride. But I tell you what, I've stuck around Alcoholics Anonymous and I've stayed alive. And that's the name of the game, staying alive and not picking up the first drink. And learning to live a life that I never ever in my wildest dreams dreamt imaginable that you could do in Alcoholics Anonymous. I never dreamt that there was a place to go for people like me. I thought people like me got locked up in an insane asylum. I thought people like me did what my mother did, die. Eventually you go to one more rehabilitation and one more hospital, and eventually you don't come out. See, I went in and out of them hospitals too. And I was in intensive care and I was strapped down and I was told to get out of that hospital and to drink again is to die. And I said to him, I said, don't tell me I can't drink. Take them restraints off and I'll show you whether I can drink or not. And I got up out of that bed and I went and got pissed. It's as simple as that. And I kept doing it until finally, as I said, it nearly killed me. But I'm alive today. I was here 3 months. I was like, you talk about, I don't care how you get here and why you're here. And when I say I'm John, I'm an alcoholic and I'm here tonight because I want to be, not because I have to be, that's not to put anybody down that may be here because they're here to get their paper signed, or they're here because of the courts, or they're here because their wife's going to leave them. I say that for me because when I came here, I did not want to be an alcoholic. I did not want to be an Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm damn sure I didn't want to stand on the floor like this and give myself up. This is confession. I'm a Catholic, for God's sake. I don't know. I don't do that shit. I don't do that. I'm a tough guy. Tough guys don't get on the floor and do these sort of things. You know, where are the people going to think where I'm coming from? You know, what's happened to him? See, but I had to learn a lot of things the hard way. And I'm glad that there was people in Alcoholics Anonymous like Jim that you got down here. And some of the older members that are around. People like Johnny Harris. You know, and I talk about people that stand on the floor and do what I do and point the finger at us. But I can tell you right now, Johnny Harris in 1979, when he sponsored Norm Albee, sat at a meeting at a convention and made a tape, I mightn't be alive here today. It's as simple as that. I mightn't be alive today. And that's how I come to stay in Alcoholics Anonymous. I had a suicide attempt at 5.5 months. And I've had many suicide attempts in Alcoholics Anonymous. I should say before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And I only had one after I got here, and a man played a tape of Johnny Harris for me, back in Australia, and it saved my life. It's as simple as that. No matter how you get 12-stepped, no matter how you do it, you know, I don't care what you listen to or who you listen to, but stick with the strength. Get with the tough guys that are in Alcoholics Anonymous and listen to what they got to say. Because, you know, a lot of them lessons that we've all had to learn haven't been easy. You know, there's been tragedy in my life. My stepson just killed somebody in vehicular manslaughter. Not easy. Some of the things that you've got to face and you've got to live with. I'm going blind. And I'm nearly blind in my left eye right now. And that's very frightening. Terrifying, as a matter of fact, for a guy like me that's knocked around the world and done the things that he's done to be told that he's going to go blind. You know, and I'm going into hospital and I'm doing the best I can to cope with it. And sometimes that's not easy. But you know, you hear him saying, Alcoholics Anonymous, don't drink, even if your arse is on fire. Well, my arse has been on fire. I'm telling you right now. Sometimes it's not easy living out there after you walk out of a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. It isn't easy. But if you've got a sponsor, and you've made some friends, and you've got some telephone numbers, you can stay alive. And you can stay reasonably sane if you utilize the things that are given to you in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's how I stay alive. I pray on a daily basis. I pray to a God that I don't understand. That I don't fully understand, and I probably never will understand. But I have the childlike faith, and I do it anyway. I was talking to my darling wife coming down in the car from Colfax today. Actually, we live in Colfax. I'm not from Auburn. I come from Colfax. And I'm not even from Colfax. I'm from Australia, by the way. I tell people, actually, I'm from Texas. That's why I tell that Texas story about the horses. And most people believe. But I'm a member of the Shell Harbour Guerrilla Group. It's important for all those that are a member of this group. It's important to be a member of a group. To give service. See, I, even though I live in America at the moment, I'm still a member of the Shell Harbour Guerrilla Group that meets on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And I never forget when that meeting's on. First meeting I ever went to, and I've stayed in that meeting. And no matter where I am in this world, I give service. I get involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I don't say these things to Scott. I was a man that wasn't allowed down the road, as you say, with a quarter. 25 cents they call it in Australia, but you say a quarter. Because a quarter would buy me whatever I wanted to do and would get me back out there doing it again. My ex-wife wouldn't trust me to go down the road and buy a pint of milk. It was as simple as that. But you know, since I've come into Alcoholics Anonymous, I've become a responsible member of Alcoholics Anonymous through service. By standing up and being counted. By doing the things that I'm asked to do. And you hear Johnny Harris talking about being an ultimate chairman. You know, he stacks the chairs after a meeting. You know, I pick up ashtrays sometimes after a meeting. I clean up after meetings, even if it's not my meeting. I stand at doors of meetings and I greet the people when they walk in the door. There's nothing worse. You see it hanging there and you got it. This is AA, we care. Well, if you care and you want something to do, there's a lot of people bleeding at this meeting right now that would love to have somebody to talk to. Stand at that door and shake their hand and say to them, don't despair, I'm John, I'm Bill, I'm Frank, I'm Mary, I'm Judy, I'm an alcoholic, I'm here to help you. That's what this is all about. You know, if that man or woman walks through that door, I beg you, reach the hand out. Because that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is all about. So that's what happened to me. When I walked through the door 12 years ago, the hand of friendship came out and people came to me and said to me, don't despair, we know how you feel. And I really didn't think they knew how I felt at that time. But after I stayed at my first few meetings, I knew when they stood up there and shared their experience, strength and hope and told me what it was like, what happened and what it's like now, I knew that they knew what they were talking about. And I knew that I was in the right place. For a lot of years, I never even knew what an alcoholic was. See? And for a lot of years, with all the things I did, I thought the measure of a man was how much he could drink and what you could do while you was out there doing it. And then this tough guy said to me, John, he said, it's not what you drink, or why you drink, or how much you drink, or when you drink. It's what it does to you when you have one bloody drink. And you know what? That was the hardest thing for me to comprehend. Because I was like most people. It was the 10th. It was the second bottle. If I just didn't step into that second bottle, I'd have been okay. If I hadn't picked up that sixth glass, it'd have been all right. If that rotten bitch had left me alone and let me drink on the arm, I'd be okay. If the bullet would get off my back, you know, well, with that trouble, I've still got it. And so it goes on, you know, and we can stand forever. And we bitch and we complain. And we hear people in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I get in and I say, I want to be normal. We got some room. We got a few. Good. I hope you find out what it is, because when you do, I'll give you my number. 346-6507. Give me a call. Tell me what it's all about. Because I don't know what's normal. I know for this alcoholic what's normal for me here right now. I'm doing what's normal for me tonight, right now. To be at a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. Share my experience, strength and hope with you. See, I watch the normals. I watch them where I live. I watch the people that are around me that are not in this fellowship. People I come in contact with in business. People where I lived at home. You know, I get to funny stories. Man across the road. Both alcoholics, both engineers. He blames his mate blames him. You know, they haven't got a problem. They both drink the business into bankruptcy, still blaming one another. Him sitting up at 3 o'clock in the morning drinking out of a wine cask, watching our television, by the way, back in those days didn't go 24 hours a day in Australia, not like here, he is a spoil here. And they used to sit there watching that fuzzy screen because it goes off at 12 o'clock in the night, and he'd be sitting there and that shit-faced off his brain, or he'd be walking around his yard screaming his health at the stars and abusing God. You know, he was normal. He'd go to work at 9 o'clock the next morning, he'd be out there in his car. Now the man next door to me, you love him, he had the biggest contracting business in Wollongong, where I come from. He was a contractor in concrete. Now he lost his first house, and he said, I'm not having any more of them white women. He said, they're no good, them white women. He said, I'm not having any more white women. He said, she took everything I earned and left me nothing. He went to the Philippines, kept drinking, went to the Philippines, got himself a Filipino wife, built a $140,000 home, which is probably worth $450,000 now, right beside where I used to live. She brought a family with her from the Philippines eventually. And when she gets drunk, when he gets drunk, I should say, she throws him out of the house. They all throw him out of the house. Like, and we're talking about a millionaire, by the way. He's normal. He's a millionaire. He's normal. And you know those little trap doors you put under a house so you can go and inspect the plumbing under your house and the wiring and everything? He climbs under there with his Alsatian dog, and that's where he lives. You want to be normal? Get out there. You can be normal. You know, you can be a millionaire. You can be anybody you want to be and be normal. You know, I look at the normals. I look at the normals up there at Colfax. You want to look at the normals around where I live in Colfax? There's some doozies up there, I'll tell you right now. There's some rivers. But there's nobody. But there's people in Alcoholics Anonymous that I want to be like. And I want to be liked by those people too as well. I love what I found in Alcoholics Anonymous. I found my own people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I found my niche in life. I found what's comfortable for me. I found people that love me for me, that care about me. You know, and I never found that outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. I got friends. So I don't have very few friends outside of Alcoholics Anonymous. My whole life revolved around Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous comes first. Comes before my wife, that's sitting right out in front of me. It comes before my children. It comes before anything that happens in my life. Alcoholics Anonymous comes first. If I don't stay sober, If I get drunk, she'll leave anyway and throw me out in the air. She's already told me. My kids won't want to talk to me. You know, and I won't want to live with myself. I really won't. So for me, Alcoholics Anonymous is the most important thing in my life. For me. Not anybody else. I'm only telling you about me. You have to find out for you what you need in your life. All I know is what I need in my life and what I need to do for me. See, when I came here, the man said to me, "You didn't drink in any half measures, did you?" And I said, "No." He said, "Good." He said, "Because we don't get sober in any half measures." He said, "If you think you're going to," he said, "you're going to get drunk." He said, "Did you go to any lengths to get drunk? To get drunk? I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, you go to any lengths to get sober?" And I didn't understand that. Then he brought this book out. See, when I came here, I couldn't read. You talk about I'm going blind now. When I came here, I was blind through alcohol. I'm not bullshitting, dear. I was blind through alcohol. I was led through the door. Alcohol had blinded me when I came here. Now I'm going blind through the disease of glaucoma. And the man sat with me. See, I'll be honest with you, if I sat around Alcoholics Anonymous and waited to pick out a sponsor, I'd be here 12 years still looking for a sponsor. I was at my second meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and he came up to me and he said, "Have you got a sponsor?" And I said, "No. What's that?" And he said, "You need one." I said, "You think so?" And he said, "I'll be your sponsor." And then somebody said to me, "If you don't like him, go in and pray about it." So I said, "I've never prayed to God in my life. This is my first time at prayer, by the way, from the time I was a child. Second meeting." So it took me a few days before I got the courage to turn around and say, "God, why me?" And it was the first time God said, "Why not you?" And because he was the biggest black man I'd ever seen in my life. And I said, "I'm a Catholic Irish alcoholic. Why do I get a black fella?" And he said, "Because that's what you need." And I tell you what, did he kick ass? He kicked ass. And he didn't muck around. And he tell you what, and he said, "If you want what I've got, you'll do what I did. And if you don't, you'll get drunk." He said, "If you're hurting for money, I'll give you $5. It'll help you on your way to get to your first drink. If you don't think you've had enough, here's $5. I'll even drive you down to the bar so you can have your next drink." And he wasn't kidding. He wasn't joking about it. He would have taken me down. And I'm here to report that I didn't take the next drink. He used child psychology on a child, because that's what I was, a child. And I thought, "You bastard. If you tough guys can do this, this is going to be a cakewalk for this guy. I'll knock this home. I'll show you guys. I'll show you. I've done it all. This is a cakewalk." And then they said to me, "You've got to do these steps." I said, "What steps?" They said, "Them things hanging on the wall." I said, "I've done them." I said, "When did you do them?" I said, "You haven't known them either, right?" I said, "Anyway, they're leaving out of the night. Every man you got to drive you crazy. Every man they read how it works, chapter 5, 12 conditions, steps." I said, "Yeah, you don't have to. You just got to go to a meeting and they do it for you." He said, "Oh, it's that simple, is it?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "How long do you think you can stay sober like that?" I said, "Well, I'm not doing too bad." He said, "You're still thieving." He said, "You're still running around on your wife." He said, "You're conning and cheating. You're still smashing up motor cars. You still got warrants out for your arrest." He said, "You're not cleaning up the wreckage of your past." He said, "How long do you think it'll be before you're drinking?" I said, "Listen, don't tell me about drinking." I said, "If you can stay sober." I said, "I'll stay sober." He said, "Want a bet?" And you know what? That's all he had to say. And I had to go home and I thought about that. And that was in my first 3 months. And a lot of other things happened in that first 3 months, but I haven't got enough time to talk about it. But he gave me the love. And he gave me the caring. And he gave me the talking to that I needed. And he told me the things that I had to do. And he took me through my first mini 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And he died. My first sponsor, and he's still my sponsor today. And that sponsor His sponsor is still alive and I'm in contact with him. And his sponsor is still alive in Townsville and I know where he is if I want to contact him. And his sponsor is still alive. And I wouldn't have a sponsor that didn't have a sponsor that didn't have a sponsor. It's as simple as that. This is how this program works. If you're wondering how simple this program is, when you sit and share on a fourth and fifth step with somebody, make sure that that person takes somebody under their arm and starts duplicating what you're doing for them. That's how this program works. That's how we stay alive in Alcoholics Anonymous. I believe, and I honestly believe, that there's not enough fifth steps shared in Alcoholics Anonymous. People don't know how to do it for some reason, or they're frightened to do it. Some people are frightened to share their experience, strength, and hope. The most wonderful gift I was ever given in Alcoholics Anonymous by my sponsor was not sit on your own for 12 minutes at a meeting and then we might let you go out in a 12-step call. Second day, in the gutter, poor Kimber, winos, pissing me pants, shit myself, I want to go home, and he said, we're going out to talk to drunks. I said, you're crazy. I said, I'm a mess. Do you know I didn't drink? I couldn't believe it. I said, how can you stay sober doing this? I didn't drink. Second day. Third day the same. Fourth day the same. Then all of a sudden he gave me a pigeon. And he said, this boy you're going to look after. And then I give that boy a pigeon. You know? And I stayed alive in Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't know what I was doing for a long, long time, but I stayed alive. I stayed sober, running around like a lunatic. You know, one of the worst things they did in Alcoholics Anonymous, I wasn't 3 months sober. You love this. I'm Big Bad John. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm your new secretary. This is Saturday Night Live. We're going to read How It Works My Way. And I'm going to read that. I don't think we need to read it because it's crap anyway. And that's exactly what I said. And there was people like Jim there for 20 years that were at this meeting, and 30 years, and 27 years, and then they all got me out of that seat together. And I thought I was going to get stampeded through the wall. And that's just getting going. You can't have this going on in Alcoholics Anonymous. But that's what I did. I thought, put me in charge of the meat, I'll show you how it's done from now on. Now that I'm done, I'll do it my way. And this wonderful lady in Alcoholics Anonymous said to me, she said, your way? She said, you haven't got a way. And she wasn't that nice. She put a couple of F words in there. She said, you haven't got a way. She said, because you had an effing way, she said, you wouldn't be here. She said, what the hell are you doing here anyway? She said, lunatics like you should be locked up. And that was true. That was true. But that lady again, when Ted died, was there to take me by the hand and lug me back to life because I was bleeding. And I mean, I was bleeding internally. This is what happens in this fellowship. People come to you. And people love you if you let them. Even if you don't let them, they'll still love you. If you let them know you're bleeding. If you're hanging in there, get to the meetings. It's not about sitting around behind four walls. I sat there and nearly committed suicide. I'm lucky the people in Alcoholics Anonymous loved me because they came to my door and said, open the door, shithead, or we kick the door in. I'm not bullshitting you. They said, open the door, shithead, or we kick it in. We know you're in there. We've talked to your wife. And I had a loaded gun. Had a loaded gun in here. And I was in that much pain. I don't want to do it. You know, you talk about attempted suicides. You know, one of the greatest things that drove me through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous was the suicide and the madness and the fear and the despair and the hopelessness that they talk about in this big book that Johnny Harris talks about. He identifies with Bill W. I identify with Bill W. I never did. I wasn't a stockbroker. I never did what he did. But when he talks about fear and despair and hopelessness and confusion, that's what was going on between my ears. And the madness that was going on in my life. So I identified, because they said to me, listen to the similarities and not the differences. And I had to learn to listen to the similarities. And I had to go and ask somebody what that meant, by the way. And if you don't know, ask somebody. Don't sit there in your ignorance. You know? Humble yourself. If you don't know something, ask somebody. Get a dictionary. Look it up. If you can't write, ask somebody to write it down for you. I did all these things. I'm not telling you to do something I didn't do. I did all these things because I wasn't capable of doing it. You know? And I look back when I used to drive motor cars. Or automobiles, as you call them here. Do you call them cars here? It doesn't matter. I used to drive these things down the highway in blackouts. Lights are on and nobody's home. And I would wake up behind the wheel of a moving car at 70 miles an hour. I would not know where I'm coming from, and I would not know where I'm going to, and I would pull that car up in absolute terror. I'd have told myself that I wasn't going to do this again. Sometimes I had my children in the car. Sometimes I had my wife in the car and children in the car. Sometimes I had friends in the car. And I did not know what was going on. And I'd get out of the car. And I'd walk around the car. And you know, and I thought I was in a dream. I thought I was in some sort of fantasy world. And this went on and on and on. And I kept telling myself that I've got to stop doing these things. You know, I'd wake up on cell floors arrested. And I'd rattle the cage, just like you do here, and the sergeant would come in and I'd say, what's on the charge sheet? He'd say, drunk and disorderly, driving a car without a license, or driving drunk, or whatever, and whatever, and whatever, and whatever. You know, assault, or whatever. You know, resisting arrest, and so it goes on. And I have no recollection. They could have said, you just murdered somebody, and we're going to put you away for the rest of your life. And do you know what? We talked about it today, me and Jim. We talked about it. I met a man that did 20 years in prison back home that murdered a man over a bottle of wine in a drunken fight, that did 20 years, that didn't remember why, you know, that why he went to prison. They told him why he was in prison, but he had no recollection of why he was there, of doing what he did. And the same thing could have happened to me. See, the disease of alcoholism, this is a disease. It is a deadly disease. But see, I found a program that works. And the program that works is Alcoholics Anonymous. It's in the first 164 pages of the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. If you haven't read it, read it. Study it. It's the common text of Alcoholics Anonymous. The program is in the first 164 pages for those that just missed what I said. If you haven't got a big book, write one, steal one, get one from anyone you can. But get one. And read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It may save your life. It may show you where this program works. See, our primary purpose, the big book talks a lot about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it talks about our real purpose on page 77. Our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and people about us. Now, if you go back to page 19, really early in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous, or page 20, again, when it talks, there is a solution. It says, our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend upon our constant thought of others and how we may help meet their needs. And then you hear people in Alcoholics Anonymous saying that we don't need to talk about drunkologues. We don't need to talk about our past. Telling you right now, we do. Showing others who suffer, this is from page 124, I say these things so that you can check it in the book where I read it from, because people come up and ask me, so I'm telling you. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Cling to the thought that in God's hands the dark past is our greatest possession you have. The key to life and happiness for others. With it you can avert death and misery. Right now, tonight, somebody may walk free. Somebody may walk away from the bondage of self tonight, just for something I said. And it does happen. I came to this country and I went home. And I went to a Loomis meeting and I spoke, just like I'm speaking tonight. And a man that I spoke in front of, just like I'm speaking in front of you, came up and said, thank you. I was going out to drink and I'm now sober. I forget how many months he said he was sober. And he was still in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. See, we never know who we're going to touch. We never know who's going to get sober. See, we carry the message. We don't carry the alcoholic. If you think you can, try it. If you do it, give me a call. And if it works, let me know how it worked, because I'm still trying to do that and it doesn't work. See, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous for me is a book that I read every day of my life. I study it every day of my life. It's a secret for living. And when things are going bad in the day, I carry these books around in my truck. I carry it with me always. Not this one particularly, but I've got other books. And I turn to page 87. And when I'm thinking that I'm in the shit, I read this to myself. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful. We ask for right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. And I've got to remember that, because I've got self-will running right continually. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. Now, I'm not a religious person, but I have to say that for me. I don't know what you've got to do. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more effective. We do not tire so easily. For we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works, it really does. Now, if you're an alcoholic and you're looking for an easier way to go, you found it. You're in the right room. This is it. There is no other place for Alcoholics Anonymous. There was over 3 million people on the face of the earth sober through Alcoholics Anonymous in excess of 3 months. 12 months, so the New York office tells me. You know, if you want any more proof than that, well, that's about the best I can give you at the moment. You know, I've only got to look around this room. And there's a lot of sobriety sitting in this room right now. A lot of sobriety sitting in this room. The miracle is here, and it's spread out every day at Alcoholics Anonymous, how it works. I hear people saying, I don't know how it works. What, you're deaf? I mean that. Listen, instead of meetings of Alcoholics Anonymous and saying, I've heard that shit before, I'm sick and tired of listening to it, take the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous and to a meeting, and when they ask somebody to read out how it works, open your book and read it with them. Do yourself that favour. It may be the only thing you ever do. As Johnny Harris said one day, he flung the book across the room and he knew he missed it. Do you know what? I knew he missed it. Thousands of alcoholics do the same thing. We know we miss this sometimes, and some people do miss it. See, and it was said to me by my sponsor, don't miss this. You may never, ever get another chance. And it's true. I was given a shit show in hell. I was in intensive care, 3.5 months sober. And they said to me, you're going to die. And I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still alive from the disease of alcoholism. That's the miracles that work in here. And they don't know. The doctors don't know. Nobody knows who's going to make it and who's not going to make it. I say to you, and I have people say to me, I never ever got that sick. I'll say to you this, I'll give you a gilt-edged guarantee, and I'll sign it and date it, that if you go out there and keep drinking and you're tough enough, you'll do what I did. If you can hang in there, you'll do it, man or woman. You know, it's wonderful to be here tonight and see all young people in this room. That's absolutely fantastic. And I'm telling you, you've got a real second chance at life of making it. I was saying to Jim, I'd love to be young people like Gary was with us tonight, and you know, and you're walking into this freaking door at 20 and 25 years of age. Man, I was blowing it up my nose and shaving up my arms and up my arse and any other way I could get it. You know, the insanity that I was going through, and that I could retire, and what I used. And I look at you young people that are in here today, and I'm giving it to you. This is it. There is no other way to do it. If you're an alcoholic, this is the miracle. This is where it happens. These are where, you know, you've all got to do it. You know what he said? And for those that don't know what he said, there's some of that don't know what he said. He said, you don't believe in miracles? Go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. How's that? How's that? From a religious hall, go to a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous if you don't believe in a miracle and watch what happens to an alcoholic in his first 24 hours of life. All you got to do is stick around here for a while and look over your shoulder and watch what's happening to the person beside you. in the first couple of days of recovery and tell me that this is not the place for alcoholics. There is no other place for an alcoholic other than Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm telling you right now. If there was, I would not be standing here right now. I'm a smart guy, and I'm a knockabout, and I've done it all. And I've been to all the swings you can go to, all the clubs you can go to, all the business people and the good people and the friends, and none of them have got the answers like they've got in Alcoholics Anonymous. None of them have got what we've got in Alcoholics Anonymous. As good as they may think they are, and that none of them have got what we've got here. None of them have got, they cannot bond together like we bond together in Alcoholics Anonymous, and one alcoholic helping another alcoholic. This is where we're at. This is it. Don't believe me? I'm sorry. But this is it. If you want what we've got, you have to do what we did. Okay? It says in this big book, again, and I just move over a couple of pages, and one of the most favourite things for me, and I never even knew this, you're a wonderful world, blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden I read the big book and it says, follow the dictates of a higher power and you're presently living a new and wonderful world no matter what your present circumstance. What a wonderful revelation from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because that's true. I never knew in my wildest dreams. You know, we run into Alcoholics Anonymous and we quote things off the top of our head because we thought it sounded good, it was smart, we copied it, we recited it, and we come back to the meeting and repeat it because we heard somebody else say it. But you think about these words, they're really wonderful. The next page, on 102, it says, your job is now, listen to this, you want to know what your job is? And I'm running out of time. You don't want to know what your job is? I'm going to tell you what your job is because this is what the big book tells me. Your job is now to be at a place where you may be a maximum helpfulness to others. So never hesitate to go anywhere if you can be helpful. You should not hesitate to visit the most sordid spots on earth on such an errand. And this is the punchline. Keep on the firing line of life with these natives and God will keep you unharmed. God will keep you unharmed. True. God will keep you unharmed. I never in my wildest dreams dreamt that life would be like it is today. And I can be one of the most ungratefulest bastards you ever met sometimes in Alcoholics Anonymous. I really can. But God really does keep me unharmed. You know, and I do what God asks me to do on a daily basis. I've learned to give service. I'm a part of H&I in this country and I go into a lot of jails. And I carry the message in them jails. And I thank my God morning and night for what I've been given today. I would not go back to bed without thanking my God for what I've been so freely given. And I freely give the same thing to you. It's as easy as that. Watch what you pray for. I'm going to tell you right now, if you want to be terrific in this deal, be pacific. No bullshit. I'm in America because I wasn't pacific. I haven't got the time to stand and tell you about it, but I'm happy about where I am, and this is God's will for me, and this is what I'm doing tonight. And I'm doing what God wants me to do. And I love doing it. I love what I've got. See, it's a cinch by the inch, but it's hard by the yard. Remember, the old timers used to say this back in the early days. This is from the co-founders. Words of wisdom, little bit by little, but day by day in every way, through the grace of God and the fellowship of AA, you'll be a winner. If you want to be. See, I put my head on the pillow tonight and I'm a winner. Because I've done it. A cinch by the inch, but it's hard by the yard. I want to thank you all for being here. I want to thank you all for being so tolerant. I want to thank you all for loving me. I hope it didn't take too long. If you didn't like it, sorry. And for those that loved it, well, great. And then, but if you don't drink, great. If you didn't drink, I'm sorry. But that's just a part of life. Some of us get drunk, some of us stay sober. That's what it's all about. Just keep coming back if you can stay alive. Thank you all.